from the NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey West Live. College Hockey West Live is brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue. For lunch or before the game, the best in barbecue, Las Vegas style, at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV to watch the best in college hockey since 2013. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, whether it's Las Vegas or any of our other worldwide properties, an iconic vacation awaits you at any of our destinations. The Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly, with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Order online at thespaghettishack.com. Liberty University, play for something more. Faith, education, and hockey at liberty.edu. By FedEx, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. And by the Caesars Sportsbook app, a proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey West Live from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Well, welcome in, hockey fans, anywhere that may be joining us for this very special edition of College Hockey West Live. Scott Strandy with you today from a very cold Lake Elmo, Minnesota, just outside the Metroplex of Minneapolis-St. Paul. My co-host, as always, in the palatial estate I'm now calling Command Central. Paul Hornstein is with us, breaking down everything that is college hockey, and perhaps one of the most exciting last weekends of the tournament season leading into the NCAA tournament. Paul, how are things out on the island today? I don't hear you. I think you're on mute.
Cold and wet.
Cold and wet. Can you match 13 degrees?
No, thankfully.
That's what it
then
is
that
here.
Means, because then it would be cold and white.
Yeah. Well, we got the first batch of snowstorms. I'm using air quotes with about 5 inches of snow yesterday. Luckily, it was warm enough to where most of it melted off the streets and cars. But the next round starts tomorrow at 10 a.m., and that includes 9.5 inches of snow and wind and cold. And this will be much colder. It's already 13, as I said. It's not going to warm up much more than 20 today. And
live there?
Yeah. So I'm going to be staying here until Tuesday and then making the trip over to Sioux Falls on Tuesday, because this isn't supposed to end until sometime Monday, and I'm not. If you've ever driven through Minnesota to South Dakota, it's nothing but barren land. And I'm not going to adventure. I'm not that adventurous. Let's put it that way. Now, speaking of adventurous, though.
Yeah.
The NCAA,
what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing the host team will be in Sioux Falls.
Yes. Yes. Go ahead, elaborate.
Well, no, Omaha, you know, is 100% in.
Yes.
And they are the host school.
Yeah. And
so the Sioux Falls regionals will be attended as per mandate by the home school, which is the University of Nebraska, Omaha, who will tonight be playing for the championship of the NCHC.
Frozen faceoff.
Yes.
So I think it's appropriate to say, let's go Mavs.
Yeah, okay. I mean, whatever.
Congratulations to the Mavericks. You know, I've got a nice relationship with their captain, Nolan Sullivan, and I couldn't be happier for the guy. I mean, I have a lot of relationships at North Dakota, too. But as I told you yesterday, as we were chatting during the game, I don't understand. And Denver broke the streak, but I don't understand why the top two teams in this tournament, North Dakota and Denver, pretty much every year come into this, and they seem like, what's the right word? Not disinterested, but
you can't fake
precautionary.
Desperation. You can't fake desperation.
No,
because as much as, and you know, I laugh at media speak as much as anybody. But when push comes to shove, there's always an extra edge to the team playing with the desperation. Now, sometimes it's enough, and sometimes it's not. Now, we were pretty sure that Omaha, after beating CC in the quarterfinals, was in the tournament, regardless of what happened this weekend.
Right.
St. Cloud, on the other hand, was not. And again, you saw the desperation in the St. Cloud performance last night. Especially, you know, late in the game. Because the third period was a completely different. The third period in the overtime was a completely different game than the first.
Yeah, was it ever. You know what wasn't completely different, though, Paul Hornstein?
What?
The play of one number 28, Zeev Bulyum. This kid is scary good. I've seen him a couple of times this year. But this kid is scary good. I know there's Macklin Celebrini, and I know there's other guys out there. But, man, oh, man, when you come onto a team like Denver with the talent that they have and you stand out as a freshman defenseman, goodness gracious. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind last night when they got to overtime that 28 was going to get the puck and take it to the net. There was no doubt in my mind that he was going to be the guy that won this thing because – he was like a man-child out there, and the kid is still one of the youngest, if not the youngest, player in college hockey.
Well, what you have is his situation last night is, and this is not a knock on some of the St. Cloud players. I like a lot of their players. I know that we've spent a year here saying that, you know, I keep waiting for the bubble to burst, but that doesn't mean they didn't like some of their players.
Exactly.
But they don't have the game breakers like Denver has. Nobody on St. Cloud is Zeev Bulyum. Now, they might have players on that team that are as good, but as individual skill and offensive players, you know, basically what happened is he got the puck on a stick and said, screw it. I'm going to do this by myself.
I'm tired of playing hockey tonight. I'm going to end it.
He did it a couple different times. I mean, when you watched Omaha play, and we'll get to them in a couple of minutes, CC last weekend. The difference in game one and games two and three is CC was able to get a couple of crashes to the net and create scoring opportunities. St. Cloud didn't allow Denver to do that a lot last night. The problem is when it did happen, it was done by probably the best individual player on the ice in that game. And it showed. Because, especially, you know, when it came to crunch time, and he made the play, and that's why Denver not only came back at least once, they came back four times and won the game in the overtime, because Zeev Bulyum said, we're done here, and I want to go home.
Okay, let's take this backwards if we can, because obviously the most exciting game was the final game, and so many interesting things. And before we even start, I'm going to play the press conference in its entirety because, as you know, I ask a question. Sometimes I have to put my camera down when I'm holding another microphone. But anyway, I'm just going to play this press conference from the Frozen Faceoff, the Denver game. Two things, Paul. Number one, Brett Larson is about the most gracious individual I've ever met. He came out there after a very tough loss, met the media. His opening comments were, guys, I'll take whatever questions you have. That's a class act. I'm just so proud to say I know Brett Larson, because it's hard, man. It is hard when your season's over, and he knew it when he walked in. They were not getting into the national tournament.
Right.
For him to say that. So you'll hear that in a minute, but here's David Carl and his thoughts. And Paul, take a couple of things away from this. Number one is, he said, I don't think we scored a goal on a Friday at the Frozen Faceoff since 2018. Not when. They hadn't scored a goal until tonight.
Right.
Now, that's amazing for the Denver Pioneers. But here's David Carl.
We're joined by the Denver Pioneers after their 5-4 overtime win over St. Cloud State in the Frozen Faceoff semifinals tonight. We're joined by Denver head coach David Carl, DU senior forward and captain McCade Webster, Denver junior defenseman Shai Buyum, and Denver junior forward Carter King. As we've done for other press conferences, we will ask a coach to make an opening statement. Then we'll have questions for the players, let the players go, and then we'll have questions for coach. If you could state your name when you ask a question and your affiliation before you ask your question, that will help everyone know who it is that's speaking. With that, I'll turn over to Coach Carl for an opening statement.
Yeah, proud of our team's effort tonight. Excited to get the win. I guess we'd start by saying we have the utmost respect for St. Cloud, Brett Larson, their staff, the season they had, and the effort that they put in to get to the Frozen Faceoff and how hard they played us tonight. It was an excellent game, really back and forth, and just have a lot of respect for them. Also want to congratulate McCade Webster's sister, McKenna. McCade was not outdone fully tonight, but she's playing for national championship tomorrow. Or 2 days, sorry. Yeah. But she won today with Ohio State in the Women's Frozen Four. So an exciting day for McCade, his family, and really proud of our players. We've not had a lot of success here on Friday. It's actually our first time scoring here on Friday since March of 2018. So it's been a while, and we're really excited to play for a big trophy tomorrow.
Thanks, David. We'll open up for questions for the student-athletes.
Scott Trinity, College Hockey West. McCade, for you, you told me earlier that you really wanted this trophy. You're one step away from it. What does it feel like right now?
Yeah, I think obviously the job's not done, so focusing on tomorrow. We're obviously happy with tonight, but there's still a lot to go.
And Shai, for you, you guys were in track meet until the third period, then all of a sudden things got really tight. Was there something changed in the locker room between periods?
No, you know, I think we stayed connected as a group. We were ready for the challenge, and we came out and executed.
Carter, for you, the opportunity to get back on the ice, how did it feel?
It's a lot more fun than watching. I was just saying that before. But it's stressful watching, so I was really excited to get back out there today.
Sean Davich with USCHO. McCade, talk about that goal you had that tied in at 2 in the first period. It looked like you won a battle behind them, then like really good awareness there to tuck it in past Posh.
Yeah, I just took it to the net and went in. Nothing much to it, honestly.
Other questions for the student athletes? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Good luck tomorrow. Open up questions for Coach Carl. Chatty group today. You're in the front with Scott.
Coach, you talked a little bit about getting the monkey off your back, so to speak, scoring here. What happened between the second and third period, and how did you tighten things up?
I think we just talked about trying to get the lead for the first time on the night. Actually didn't happen until overtime. I like to push at the start of the third. I thought the first 10 to 12 minutes, we did a lot of really good things, had opportunities. Isaac for them played, I thought, excellent. I thought, 3-3 nights last week started to show a little bit, but for them, but at the second TV timeout, I thought they had a real good push for about 4 or 5 minutes from the 7-minute mark to the 2-minute mark before the end of regulation. So there was still some back and forth the period, but I think both boys played.
3rd. Tomorrow night you get Omaha, similar team, similar style?
To
St. Cloud?
Yeah, in some ways, for sure. It's great teams throughout our league, and they've been playing great hockey. I don't know if there's a hotter team in the country than Omaha right now. So we're looking forward to that challenge, and can't wait for tomorrow night.
Coach, obviously you've had one of the best offenses in the nation all season long. What were you able to do so successfully against St. Cloud, really all season, a few weeks ago when you hung up 13 up there in St. Cloud and then 5 more tonight?
We have good shooters, good players, confident. They've been confident all year. You know, I think sometimes you have runs on different teams or goalies for whatever reason. I'm not sure there's any one thing to pinpoint it, but our guys have executed all year offensively very well, and that's a credit to them. And they work on their game, they work on their shooting, they work on their offensive habits with screening and playing on the inside. So we've shown, I think, an ability in the second half to start scoring different ways than we did in the first half. That's not an easy thing to do, but I give our guys all the credit for being able to go out and execute that and continue to score at the rates we have throughout the whole season.
Any other questions for Coach?
The role, College Hockey News, Minnesota Hockey Magazine. Just how impressed were you with the resilience of your team throughout the game, too, to make sure that, I mean, it was truly back and forth with the goal scoring, to make sure that, you know, you weren't letting them get a multi-goal lead and you guys were coming back. Obviously, like you said, you wanted to get the lead, which didn't happen until overtime, but to still keep it close like that throughout, even though you were trailing.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we've been in a lot of high-scoring games this year. We've not been in one like that that happened sequentially like that, where we kept getting scored on and losing the lead and didn't have the lead all night long until the end of the game. So I think it was a great challenge for us as we learn how to win these types of games. We've talked a lot about our youth and how we want to, you know, grow and be a different team now than we were at the start. And I don't know if we win that game in October, November, but I think they've shown a lot of growth in maturity and confidence and belief in themselves that they were able to go out and execute and not be deterred by being down a goal 4 straight times. That's not an easy thing to overcome. And so, again, just proud of them. We got a great leadership group. We've got really good kids who want to learn, get better, and they've done that all year. And happy for them that they got the result tonight.
Any other questions for Coach?
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Good luck tomorrow. They'll face the Omaha Mavericks in tomorrow's championship at 7:30 Central Time.
All right, Paul. You heard it there from Coach David Carl. And no, I was not the only one in the room to question the players. It certainly seemed that way. Nobody else wanted to talk. So not a whole lot of stuff coming out of the players unless I asked the question.
Well, somebody had to ask the questions. And I don't really know if there's a whole lot to to ask the players, so to speak. So, you know, the players are the players are playing, right? They're not, you might ask them what happened on a particular play, and that's about it. As far as the rest of it's concerned, there's only so much you can ask them.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
You're really just trying to get a feel for what's going through there, you know, emotionally. But even then, even if you win a game in overtime, you're Denver. You're supposed to win. Are you elated or relieved? I don't know. Probably both.
Probably a little of both. The interesting thing, and people have already asked me that this morning, is like, hey, how come nobody talked to Steve Bulliam? Well, here's the deal. In college hockey, you very rarely get a freshman, especially at tournament time. They just don't let them speak. And that's a personal thing from the team. So a lot of people ask me, well, why was Shai Bulliam up there and not Zeke Bulliam? He's the star of the game. It's not NHL, and you just don't get, or AHL, you just don't get those those opportunities in NCAA hockey. So that's why.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if it works that way at the Frozen Four, but
it does. It absolutely does. It's going to be who they bring out. The SID and the coach decide who they're going to bring out, and that's who you get to speak to. So, unfortunately, I would have liked to have spoken to Zeev. Maybe I will between now and the start of the NCAA tournament, but that was not the opportunity we had today, so that's why you didn't hear it. Anyway, anybody that's listening for that part of it, I do want to play this 2 minutes and, I don't know, 5 seconds, 8 seconds of Brett Larson because, man, again, such a class act, and understand how much heartbreak had to be in that locker room for his seniors, for himself, for his university. But here's Brett Larson. I think this is the right clip, so let me play it here.
You alluded to the 5-minute major, and then it seemed like almost a 7-minute major. Have you seen a power play just kind of seemingly go on like that? And what can you do at a point like that as a coach to try and kind of get the groove back once you're back to 5-on-5?
Well, the problem is the kill is really a physically demanding aspect of the game. You've got to work your butt off on the kill. And the problem is you're killing a lot of our centers and a lot of our top players for that 5 minutes. I put a makeshift line out there after of 3 guys that hadn't been killing at all, one that doesn't play center much this year. They got trapped in our zone. It took me a couple shifts to get our top players rested enough to get back out there. And I thought that they really took advantage of that for the 5 to 7 minute segment. But we weathered it, you know, and we came out of that period tied. We, you know, the third period, I thought it was a little back and forth, and come out of that thing tied and threw everything. Here we are in a one-shot game in overtime with one of the best teams in the country. So I thought we did pretty much everything we could do tonight to give us a chance. I don't think the players have anything to hang their head about.
Coach, just talk about the lasting legacy that guys like Zach Okabe, Kyler Kupka, Dylan Van Horn. I don't mean to, you know, make it an emotionally tasking question.
Yeah.
Just the legacy that those guys leave behind us Huskies.
Now you think of what they've done. I mean, over the years, they've helped get this program to a national championship game. They've helped this program win a league championship here last year, make the tournament every year until this year, which is probably their biggest disappointment, that their last year would be the 1 year that they don't make the tournament. But they've just created so much success here over the last 4 and 5 years. They've been a huge part of our program. They've been great kids in the community, great kids in the classroom. I think they've represented the city of St. Cloud, the St. Cloud State University. I think they've represented everybody with class. And it's going to be a tough group of guys to replace because not only have they been really successful off the ice, but they're a bunch of great kids too.
Pretty well put by one Brett Larson. Your thoughts, Paul?
Well, I mean, it's tough when you're always on the edge like that, right? You know, when you're always on the edge of winning. And you don't quite win. You know, my oldest son and I were talking a little bit about college wrestling last night. And he's like, this one guy has been to the finals 4 years in a row, and he's not going to win. And that's got to drive him nuts.
Boy.
You know, so I'm sure that's kind of, you know, and of course, my first instinct was, to talk about the Buffalo Bills, but you know,
or the Minnesota Vikings for that case.
Yeah, but they didn't lose. They didn't go to 4 in a row and lose.
Yeah, true.
They just lose.
They did lose plenty though.
Yeah.
Anyway, so leave this game and go on to the first game of the night, a couple of things that stood out again, and I don't want to be too hard on Denver because they won, and it's certainly not just a Denver issue, but I don't understand 5-minute majors and not having more urgency. And I texted you, I was going like, where in the world is the urgency on a 5-minute major in a game of this magnitude? Because they just quote unquote gifted you 5 minutes of power play time. When I grew up, Paul, and I've told you this off air and on air, when I grew up playing the game, when that clock said you had 5 minutes of power play time or nobody was coming out of the box, even to dance at center ice. nobody was coming out of the box for that 5 minutes. It was like, how many can we score? Can we score two? Can we score three? How many can we score? And I get so frustrated seeing teams that try to be too, as you would like to say, pretty boy hockey and look for the perfect shot and the perfect setup. And I'm not saying that Denver necessarily did that. I just didn't
Exactly what. Listen, I've been screaming about that all year with a certain other team that is near and dear to my heart. And just get the darn puck to the net. You know, CC was able to do that last Friday against Omaha, won the game. They couldn't do it on Saturday and Sunday. Who won?
Not CC.
Not CC. Okay. Denver was fortunate enough to have enough time and basically ended up with a 7 minute power play because of the lineups, like Coach Larson said. I mean, but again, you spent so much time trying to be pretty, you forgot about what the end game is. And I'm sorry, if you're going to quote unquote be the 1970s and 1980s Soviets, you better pass the puck a little faster. You better make better passes. And you better get rid of the puck quicker.
Well, I think
And they're not doing that, these teams. Because you know why? Because they don't have that kind of skill.
Yeah.
There's no Kharlamov. There's no... No, I mean, it's, you know, these teams are not that.
No, and that was pretty much Denver hockey this year. We've talked about it multiple times about the way they mesmerize almost themselves with the constant movement, which is great. But that constant movement has to create opportunities. It can't just be constant movement for the sake of constant movement. What they do is they wear down the opponent, which is great. But if you can't create those two-on-ones or those three-on-twos down low on the power play where you get good quality scoring chances, then you know, maybe work on something else. But they were mesmerizing, and I was afraid they were going to get beat shorthanded on that because sometimes that happens. Everybody's going in motion, and all of a sudden somebody gets out of position, and down they come the other way.
And listen,
Either on a breakaway or a two-on-one.
We're sitting here talking about Denver. We're sitting here and talk. When we talk, for the most part, we talk about the teams we see on a regular basis. But this is hockey in general right now.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay. This is, oh, let's do this because the computer says this. And the computer says, if we do this, we can do this and this and this. Except that's not the way it works on the ice.
Yes.
And I don't give a flat rat's butt, and I know this is off topic, what the darn computer says. The amount of goals I see every week because the goalies are down on their knees like they're playing in their friend's basement when they're 7 years old, before the puck is even in their defensive zone, is insane.
That's a whole other show.
I understand that. That's why I said I don't really want to get off topic here.
Yeah, I get your point. But, you know,
here's the craziest thing about that game last night was all the CC fans having to root for Denver to stay alive in a shot for the national championship.
And it's not over yet. And we'll get into that towards the end of the show here, what CC needs to have happen for them to get in. And again, you heard me complain about the pairwise all year long. I'm even more baffled at how these teams are moving around. And I get the AQ part of it. Okay, I understand that. But I don't understand how teams are still alive that should not be alive. Based on whatever. I didn't want to get into it. So anyway.
Well, we were going to, but.
I know. The Denver Pioneers are advancing to the NCHC Frozen Faceoff Championship game tonight. 7:37 is official faceoff time at
Central
the Xcel Energy Center. Central time, correct.
8:30 Eastern time for everybody else. Yeah.
Anyway, if I said 8:30, I would not make it on time. Anyway.
Well, it's why you say 8:30 Eastern time, again, because that's the time everybody knows.
Okay. My bad. Anyway, here in St. Paul, it'll be 7:37 official face-off time.
Okay.
So anyway, to put a bow on this game, congratulations, Denver. Congratulations, St. Cloud State, for a terrific year. We know the Pioneers are going to be a one seed going in. At least I think so.
Yeah. North Dakota lost last night. I don't believe there's a scenario that knocks them out of that.
Okay. Well, that's good news for them. But anyway, the thing that I really want to take away from this is that Denver stepped up and showed that they could go out and grab this at least opportunity. I'm not going to say that they can walk through Omaha because I don't think it's going to be an easy game at all. But they do have a different level that they're portraying, and that's one thing that happens when you're a 9-time NCAA champion, that you get better. You find different ways to win, and you've got some special players. I don't think Matt Davis was particularly sharp last night. I think he gave up some goals that he'd like to have back, but he did enough. And with his offensive talent in front of them, they did enough as a team to get the win. And when you're playing in tournament time like this, Paul, there are no easy games. So let's just clear the slate on that one right now. Everything is a battle. And you can see it in the players and coaches. It was like, yeah, kind of a sigh of relief. Whew, we're glad we got this done. And All right, let's take a quick break. Let's come back. Let's talk about the first game of the night. We'll be right back.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Banks it towards the goalie. Score.
Kale McCarr.
He scores.
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious.
CollegeHockeyInc.com and follow at College Hockey.
From the NCHC.TV studios, you're listening to ITHSW Podcasts, College Hockey West Live.
Indeed it is, College Hockey West Live. It's a special edition, an NCHC Frozen Faceoff special edition. Scott Strandy with you in Lake Elmo, Minnesota, just outside of St. Paul. And my co-host, as always, from the new Palatial Estate Command Center on Long Island, New York, Paul Hornstein. I like that. I like that because you have the command center set up where you know everything that's going on in college hockey. And I will challenge anybody, Paul Hornstein, to try to match that intensity because I know there are not anybody else doing that.
Well, I thought the estate was in St. Louis. That's what you told me.
Well, we found another one. That might be your second home in St. Louis, but definitely the one on Long Island is the command center for college hockey. And if anybody doesn't
believe, that's not in the state, though.
Just listen to your show.
I just live in a room.
whatever it is, you know, college hockey, and people need to start to realize that that is why we have the success that we have. Okay.
By the way, and I know that we're talking NCHC. Last night was the first time I got a real good look at Maine. And they want to play defense. They played pretty darn good defense against BU in the Hockey East semifinals. Problem is, to do it, they had to sacrifice all their offense.
Yeah.
And that caught up to them in the end, where just BU, just too much skill.
Paul, is that not the case with BU and BC? I mean, everybody that plays them has to do that if they want a shot?
Just about. It seemed like it. That is for sure. Kudos to all the Maine fans that were at that game last night. Midway through the game, BU only had about six shots, but they had two goals. Maine, who had not scored at that point, had only 12 shots. So it's not like they were all over the ice and BU couldn't get out of their own end. They just made sure BU didn't get any shots.
Yeah, well, it's hard to score if you can't shoot.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Or you can't get them to the net. Anyway, right. North Dakota came out and executed exactly what they wanted to do last night, Paul. Get a quick, fast start, get a goal, and they did. From that point, though, they just could not get back on track. And the Omaha Mavericks just kept pouring it on. This team getting scoring from everybody, seemingly, across the board. They played great defensive style. But you know what I noticed the most, Paul? And I had a ringside seat last night, so thanks to the NCHC for giving me the location they did. But they put me in a cutout, and I love being in the cutouts. As sore as I am when I try to get up off the concrete, it is a great spot to watch a hockey game. And what I watched Omaha do to North Dakota last night was play keep away with ice keep away, which means they didn't go the long way. They went back and forth across the short side of the rink, if you will, and they used a little bit of diagonal, but majority of that game, when they got the puck, it was keep away. It was like, North Dakota, we know you've got speed and talent, but you ain't touching this puck.
Well, again, and then when North Dakota did have the puck, for the most part, they kept them to the outside.
Absolutely. That was my second point.
North Dakota had a couple of moments outside of when they scored, when they were able to crash the net and get some rebound opportunities. To be stymied by Simon Lacozzi, but North Dakota did not have a lot of high danger chances last night, at least not to me, where I was like, oh my God, what a save.
Well, Simon Lacozzi, stops almost every puck that he can see.
But again,
solid goaltender. And
we know that.
He could see the puck a lot last night.
You know, we know that. We at least as long as they're in college, it's always going to be Embarico versus Lacozzi.
Two sophomores, by the way. They'll be juniors next year.
Right. So it's always kind of going to be they're always going to kind of be linked. At least
in
by
NCHC,
us.
Correct. Yep.
At least
in the
by
NCHC
us, anyway.
Well. Yeah. For sure.
You know, again, you know, I'm saying all year those are the two best goalies in the league. And again, you just saw Omaha, who's the hottest team in the country, as was stated earlier. Somebody in one of the press conferences that we played has said
David
that.
Ball.
Yeah.
David
Ball. They're 12-2-2. In their last 16 games, and the two quote ties were shootout wins. So they've had winning results, technically, in 14 of their last 16 games.
Yep. That is hard to do. That is
hard to
do.
Okay, it's hard to do. And when you sit there and you look at it, right, you have that, and it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, 6 of those games were true road games, and now you had a neutral site game last night. Right, so, you know, it's not like they've done it all at home.
Exactly. Actually, I want to get to the...
Actually, I'm sorry. I take that back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 of those games, of those 16 games, have been on the road. So, you know, they've done it everywhere. And you know,
isn't
that,
there a song like that? You've been everywhere. We've done it everywhere.
Man. No.
You've been everywhere,
no,
man.
No, stop. Stop.
Anyway.
So they, you know, they were, you know, definitely the better team last night against North Dakota. Like I said, there were a couple of moments where some guys made some really good individual plays. The power play goal by Jake Levinovich last night was basically, you know, him saying, excuse me, I think I'm just going to walk in here and score. You know, the first goal of the game by Jackson Coons was basically set up on an end-to-end rush by Jackson Blake.
Yeah, let me throw a couple things out here. We got to get to this this press conference too, because I think this is very interesting stuff. But the play of Jake Levinovich, the play of Jackson Blake, and the play of Hunter Johannes, and I don't think, and maybe North Dakota people will tell you this, but I don't think there's a bigger performer and worker than Hunter Johannes. And that's just not because we're friends, but he has been a force. He was a force in Lindenwood for that year he was there. He's been a force this year. He takes any role they give him, and he just does it to the very best that can be done with it. And by that, I mean he goes into the corners. He goes to the front of the net. If you need him to score a goal, he can score a goal. And Jake Levinovich, he came into the season, Paul, and we were going like, geez, I wonder if he's even going to play. He may be their best defensive or offensive defenseman, because he is so skilled, he is so fast, he's small, and I've been telling you this before, he is an incredible hockey skater, because he has done stuff for Boris Dorzenko since he was like 6. And he can get himself in and out of positions, but you realize that this kid has played nearly the entire season without an injury at that size in the NCHC? As a defensive forward?
Yeah, well.
Well, defensive defenseman, and now this offensive game has grown, but what a shot. That was right in front of me, that was just a goal scorer's goal right there.
Yeah, like I said, he just, you know, took the puck and said, everybody's got to get out of my way now, because I'm
He's
tired.
Done that on every goal he scored from North Dakota this year.
Yeah.
Almost the same way. Just takes it and lets it rip. And Jackson Blake is Jackson Blake. He's player of the year in the NCHC for a reason. Just completely dominating. I was disappointed, and I hate to pick on people, so I'm not going to pick on them by name, but there were probably a half a dozen North Dakota players that rarely – I tried to get a picture of Paul. You know how this works for me. If they get in my lens, I snap a picture, and I couldn't get them in my lens because they weren't there, which means they weren't in the play. They weren't in front of the net. It took a long time before I saw some guys, and I'm going like, where are these guys? Are they
here?
Well,
let's turn this around, because Omaha deserves a lot of credit for the game they played last night.
Well, of course. You're going to hear it on the press conference.
Okay.
In a second.
I mean, they get the power play goal to tie the game just before the end of the first period. Right? Then they build a lead. They make it 3-1 late in the second period. And then Hunter Johannes with 25 seconds left gets North Dakota back in the game. And you're like, wow, they have all the momentum. And they come out the first minute of the third period, and it's all North Dakota. And bang, Omaha. Omaha scores and says, not so fast. Yep. And it's now 4-2, and you're like, oh, man, oh, look out. All right? About then Jake Livinovich gets his power play goal about 10 minutes into the third period, and you're like, okay, here it comes. And Omaha says, I don't think so. And Zach Ertl gets his second goal of the game about a minute later. And you're like,
that Cordell okay. Who had the hat trick, by the way.
Yeah, he got an empty net goal later, but when they got that goal to make it 5-3, you're like, yeah, I think this game actually might be over. As good as North Dakota is, and as good as they, you know, as much skill as they have, when it was 5-3 with 9 minutes to go. You know it's possible, but you're sitting there like, I don't see anything that's going on in this game that says that all of a sudden they're going to start to get all of these scoring opportunities against Omaha. And they really didn't.
Brad didn't really have a choice. He pulled his goaltender early, and that's where that Zach Ertl got the empty net goal. And before we take too much credit away from empty net goals, I've seen so many times where teams can't hit the net on the empty net goal. So credit to Zach Ertl. He made no mistake, whether it was for the hat trick or for sealing the victory, if you will. He made no mistake about finishing that empty net goal. He wasn't missing the net. And that's what the guys that have the quote-unquote killer instinct do, and Zach Ertl is certainly one of them. We're going to play this clip now in just a minute. Of the press conference, but the two things I think that'll be discussed a lot, and if you heard the practice of North Dakota, that press conference, Brad Schlossman, the Grand Forks Herald writer who knows this team inside and out, asked Brad Berry about Ludvig Persson. He said, is Ludvig healthy? What did you think of his game? And Brad said, yep, he was great in practice. I thought Hobie was great in practice. He went down the list, and then Jess Myers from the Rink Live jumped in and said, Coach, I think you missed a couple. I think you missed Aaron Schneekloff and Bob Iwabuchi when you were naming off the quality of goaltenders that you have, which is kind of a humorous joke if you realize that those two have been long gone from North Dakota. But I think Brad will be questioned all for who knows how long. For this goaltending choice, he went with his gut, went with Hobie Hopequist. You know, I don't know if Ludvig Persson is the difference, but people are going to ask that. Hey, you went and got this kid out of the portal. He's been, you know, pretty solid goaltender, and you chose to go with the freshman. So I think that one will be always a second guest. And then I think also, as I said before at the start of the show, I think North Dakota came into this, again, precautionary. It's like, okay, let's just not get anybody hurt. We're going in. We're gonna play for the big trophy in a week. Let's not go through the motions, but let's just be kind of precautionary and kind of make sure everybody's good because the big one is coming up. And that's not to take away anything, certainly, from Omaha or North Dakota, but that's the way it looked to me. And anyway, here we go. Again, let's hear from the Omaha guys. This is Michael Weissman, by the way, from the NCHC, MC in the presser. They'll get here eventually. I promise. They're getting in place.
All right, we are joined by the Omaha Mavericks coming off their 6-3 semifinal win tonight. We are joined by head coach Mike Gabinet, senior forward Matt Miller with a goal and assist, and junior forward Zach Ertl with a hat trick and I believe also an assist for a 4-point night. As we've done with other press conferences, we'll start with an opening statement from coach. Then we'll go to questions for the players, let them go, and then come back to questions for Coach. With that, Coach Gabinet, go ahead.
Yeah, really proud of our guys' effort tonight. I thought we played a really, really good game start to finish there and got it done. So just really impressed with the group and excited for the win.
Thanks, Coach. Questions for the players? We do have a wireless mic, so we'll pass that around. Sean?
Sean Davich with USCHO. Zach, what's been the key to you guys having UND's number as of late? You guys swept them a couple weeks ago and then big victory tonight.
Yeah, I know. I think a big thing with our group is we don't back down from anyone. It doesn't matter what team you are, what you're ranked. We have belief in the locker room that we're going to win every night. And when we play to that standard, it's tough to beat us.
Maeve Heshman, Dakota Student. Kind of a two-parter. Hat trick and a historic game for you guys, a historic win. How's that feel?
Yeah, obviously feels pretty great. I mean, first win, first time being here in the Frozen Faceoff, and we get our first win, especially against North Dakota. It's pretty awesome.
And second part, what was working for you to get a hat trick tonight offensively?
I think the puck was just kind of finding me. You know, kind of standing on the net, and the guys got me the puck, and I was able to put it in, so...
Here in the front.
Yeah, Isaac Nielsen with the Gateway. Four of your six goals came on the second line tonight, obviously with the hat trick, but what gave this group as a whole so much success tonight?
I think just the belief in one another and throughout the game, no matter if we're up or down, just the belief and the level mindset of just everybody's doing their job and pulling for one another. Simon did great tonight, or D did great, so it was a full team effort, and yeah, one after another, we're a relentless wave of four lines, and or D pairs, so yeah, the belief in one another.
Jess Myers from the Rink Live for either or both of you. Just a lot of green in there tonight, like there always is when this team plays, but what has the response been like, kind of the excitement on campus? You know, we hear about players meeting you, or fans meeting you at the airport, and cheerleaders in the band greeting you at the bus. Just, this has got to be a pretty cool moment for your school, for your program. Tell me about it.
Yeah, no, it's been great for us and for our school as a whole. Yeah, I mean, as on our way to the rink today, we had the band playing and we had all of our families and cheer section. So, I mean, everybody's pulling for us right now and we can feel that love. And, yeah, it's awesome to make a mark on our university. And, yeah, we're playing for one another and something bigger than ourselves for sure here.
Yeah, I know Mills touched on it pretty good there. It's pretty cool to see the community come together like it has. You know, we've had a couple sold-out games a couple weekends ago, which was pretty insane. And then... Yeah, like he was saying, we had a little send-off today at the hotel with a bunch of fans and family and the band. So it's really cool to see the community kind of gel together and back us. So pretty fun.
Other questions for the players? All right, well, then go. Thanks, Zach. Thanks, Matt. Congratulations.
Thanks. Go, boys. Thank you.
Questions for Coach Gabinet. Mick?
Mick Ann from Rink Live. Mike, you know, was there a key stretch in that game where, you know, I mean obviously that fourth goal ends up being a big one. That, you know, just talk a little bit about, you know, what were some key moments maybe in that game?
Yeah, obviously they got one right off the bat there, which is never fun to do. But I really liked our first period. I liked our second period, maybe six, seven minutes throughout the game. I thought they hemmed us in a couple of times, but I thought our forecheck was really good all game long and protected that middle ice pretty good. So all in all, I thought our guys played a really solid game there, even with them pushing there and some penalty kills. So really impressed with the group's effort.
Coach, you gave up that goal right away, but seemed to kind of control the game the rest of the way. How are you able to turn things around so quickly?
Yeah, I think just like all season long, it's just how you respond to situations that you're dealt. And we got dealt a tough start to the game there. But I thought the next, you know, four or five shifts after that, we're really good at reestablishing the way we want to play and getting ourselves back in the game, getting some momentum for ourselves. So that's all you can do when those things happen is respond appropriately. And that's exactly what the guys did.
Yeah, feeding off that, Taylor Benjamin, Coast Sports. Anytime UND got momentum, especially in the second and third, you guys had a response and it was pretty immediate. Jumping off that, just how key was that to not let North Dakota come back in this?
Yeah, you know, they got some crazy firepower, so us being able to respond like that was really key, and really a good job, and like these guys talked about, really all our lines were really excellent tonight too. So it wasn't just one line responding. We were able to have multiple players respond in different situations. I think that allows us to weather the storm and get back to playing to our game plan.
Other questions for Coach? Right here in the front.
Hockey West. Coach, your team is really tough to play against when you get a lead. And today you didn't get a lead, but you were still really tough to play against. And when you look what you did to North Dakota all season long, what was the key?
Yeah, again, just without giving too much of the game plan away, but just, again, it's about where you give those guys the puck and you know, looking at how they create offenses. You got to know how they do that and make sure you do the opposite of that when you do give it to them. So, just really, really sticking to the game plan there. The guys executed really well. You can hear the bench talks. You know, everybody knows what's going on, and everybody's working together. And when that happens, good things happen.
How much confidence do you have in Simon Licozzi back there when you can give him a few goals to play with?
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great for us there and just, you know, continues to grow. He's a competitor, unbelievable mindset there, and it's been fun to watch him play.
How important is it now going into the NCAA tournament with this momentum?
Yeah, I think we'll just keep our focus on tomorrow night right now and get ready for that game and then get ready for those other games when they come.
Other questions for Coach? Jess over here.
Mike, same as I asked those guys, just how much fun is kind of the hype surrounding this when you've got the band and you know, before the guys can even get on the bus, they have to walk through a gauntlet of fans and just some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, you know, just unbelievable energy right now in Omaha and with the community and supporting it. And actually Coach Kemp talked about it there after our regular season went against North Dakota. Just, you know, that's what we kind of had that dream for when we built the program here to lay that foundation.
Yeah, I guess that abruptly came to an end. But anyway, you get the picture, right? Omaha is happy to be where they're at and not satisfied to be where they're at, if that makes sense.
Well, hope not. I mean, you want to win, right? I mean, you're playing for the trophy. Bring home the trophy.
Exactly. And it was interesting. I talked with Alex Heinert, the voice of CBS Sports Network and Midco Sports, before the game. And he goes, you know, this is going to be a really exciting tournament. But he goes, it's crazy that Omaha is really the only team that quote unquote, doesn't have anything to be worried about in the tournament. They knew where they were in. They knew where they were going.
Yeah.
They knew that wasn't going to change. They were kind of playing with house money at this point.
Yeah, it is kind of the odd thing, right? Because you talk about like St. Cloud playing with desperation because they needed to win the tournament to get in.
Yes.
And we talked about the intensity that Denver and North Dakota might play with this past week, last week. Knowing that they were in and trying to fight for those one seeds. And I don't know how it's going to work. Because then again, I never know how, you know, I know as much about the pairwise as you do.
You know enough to get angry at it. Anyway.
Well, again, I'm sitting here, right? And I don't know what the tiebreakers are, but apparently there are tiebreakers, right? Because as I sit here and look at it, Michigan State and North Dakota have the same RPI. So whatever other head-to-head sort of nonsense-y thing that they use, whatever it is, obviously favors Michigan State enough to give them the last number one seed.
Unless they lose, correct?
I have no idea.
Okay.
We are talking about the pairwise, right? We are talking about the computer.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows? They could lose to Michigan, which, you know, losing to Michigan, this is a computer, right? It could boost up their RPI. Who the hell knows?
I know. It's
bizarre.
Who
the heck knows?
Okay, so to set the table for tonight, as we haven't already done it 40 times, tonight will be a matchup between the Denver Pioneers and the Omaha Mavericks. And I'm telling you this from being around this Denver program for the past 5 years, Paul. They covet championships.
I get it.
David Carl talks many times about winning number 10, being the first to 10. how important right. that is, and 10 national championships. But those guys this year have been talking about, we don't have a frozen faceoff championship. We've been here every year. We want this. So expect Denver to play a little differently tonight. A little more maybe with that desperation you talk about. Omaha would also like to win this and would like to stay hot. But here's the thing, and this is why I think my prediction would be that Denver wins this one. I think Denver is just a little bit more on edge, if you will. Do they need this win? No. But do they want it? Yeah. Their players want it really bad. Not that Omaha doesn't, but as we said, Omaha has got nothing really to play for. They know they're playing in Sioux Falls next weekend. They know where they're kind of locked into that, 11 seed or whatever it is. So they know where they're at. Denver is not going to leave anything to chance because they saw that North Dakota slipped simply by losing this game last night. And that was a spot that they could have locked down. And we don't know how it's going to come out. We don't know how it's going to play out when it comes down to it. But I just think if you're looking for a team to watch tonight, watch the Denver Pioneers, see what they come out with, what kind of fire. I think, in all fairness to Matt Davis, he hasn't been really in this role before. And I think he really needs a stabilizing game. And I think he'll give you one tonight. So that's my prediction. Yours?
Well, here you go, right? Omaha has never been this far in the frozen faceoff.
Yeah, they weren't even here before.
Okay, right. They weren't. And again, you're talking about playing for a trophy. And I know that Omaha's been to the NCAA tournament since they've been to the NCHC. But this is the first time they could make a historic mark in their program's history. So I think that matters.
It does.
All right. Denver has not won this since 2018. Okay. But of course they've won national championships. So I don't know where the edge is. To be honest, I don't know where the edge is. I only know it has a major effect on the last spot.
Does it ever?
Of getting into the NCAA tournament.
Does it ever?
And as they absolutely flip back to quote normal, for lack of a better term. Right? Whereas last night, the folks in Colorado Springs were big Denver fans, which had to make them feel like they needed more showers. Tonight, they get to go back to hating Denver and root big time for Omaha because, pending the outcome of other games, there are almost no scenarios. If Omaha wins tonight, where CC doesn't get into the national tournament.
Yeah, that's a strange weekend for Chris Mayhew and his guys.
Like I said, last night they were rooting for Denver big time. Tonight, not so much.
Totally agree with you. Let's wrap things up if you can by Michigan Tech ousted Bemidji State, and we'll get the AQ for the CCHA last night, if I'm correct. Yeah,
that is correct. A very dangerous team because we know how much goaltending matters.
Yep.
Blake Kiedela did it last night to Bemidji. And
if you had Michigan Tech on your board of getting into the tournament the way their season has gone, I don't think you would be you would be in the majority.
No, you would not. Again, one and done's. Do I think they have enough to win the? Do I think they're quote on a roll enough to get to the frozen faceoff, the frozen four? No, probably not. But as first round matchups go, where they'll be playing with nothing to lose, And at this point, I guess it depends on who wins. You know, they could either be, they'll be facing one of the Boston teams.
Great. Great way to start.
Well, because
might as well get the best out of the way first.
You know, they're going to play. I mean, it would all depend really on who wins the ECAC championship tonight, whether it's St. Lawrence or Cornell. If St. Lawrence wins, then Michigan Tech will be have the 15 seed and would play BU, I believe. And, you know, again, you know, that's a situation where Michigan Tech at that point is playing with house money. And, you know, like a lot of the teams in that league this year, they were supposed to be better than they were.
Yep. That made for a soft schedule for a lot of teams.
And anyway, soft schedule, yeah.
I'm not going to get into that.
Well, we can. And
BU and BC will play tonight for the Hockey East Championship, correct?
Yes, they will play for the – and I think that game might determine a little bit. Who gets who, not necessarily seeding-wise, but, you know, somewhere else down the line.
Yep.
That'll be a hot ticket in Boston.
Always
as
is.
It was. Well, especially with them being 1-2.
Oh, yeah. Two best teams in the country. I don't think there's an argument with that.
Well, you know, I'm sure that the BU fans would argue with that.
No, I said the top two teams in the
country.
BC
top two
and BU.
Teams. I didn't hear the word two. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But
anyway, quickly get through the rest of these. The Big Ten Championship, Michigan State and Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Who called that one? Nobody except you.
True. True. And by the way, again, pairwise implications. You could have it's been talked about, not by me, but I've seen other people talking about it. Possible first round of the North Dakota Fighting.
Be the Hawks.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misread it. North Dakota Fighting Hawks against Michigan in the first round. If that happens, expect that to be.
Can it be Thursday night in Sioux Falls when I'm there?
No, probably not.
Okay.
Well, I see that has also kind of thrown things into a monkey into the wrench, right? Because everybody expected North Dakota to be in Sioux Falls. Now they might not be.
Yeah, that might be.
Now it might be Denver. I mean, I don't know.
I don't see how, if you're looking at the betterment of college hockey, how you cannot have North Dakota in Sioux Falls. I don't care what the numbers say. You have to use
your common sense
to say, we need fan support. And I'll tell you right now, tonight, Paul, I've heard people tell me that there might be just dozens of fans tonight, not hundreds, not thousands, because North Dakota is not playing. And
I will say,
like them or not, they bring the best fan base, the best traveling fan base in all of NCAA hockey.
I don't know what all of these. I just know right now Michigan State and North Dakota's RPI are tied. So whatever the comparisons are that Michigan State wins over North Dakota, and I don't know how they figure that out.
But they're tied, I will tell you that even I think I can figure this out, that if Michigan State loses tonight, North Dakota goes back to a one seed.
I don't know.
I don't see how you can lose and break the tie in the favorable direction.
I don't
Michigan
know.
State.
Again, I don't know.
We'll find out. Okay,
we'll find out, but that will make things very, very interesting.
One final thing on the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. Next year will be its final at the Xcel Energy Center. And while it's so much fun to go here and to see this, and the XL does such a great job, and the NCHC does, so tonight will be the example to where you say, let's play them at campus sites, because, you know, it's expensive to travel. And I know Denver has been beat up by the media and by other people all weekend long about, oh, they don't travel, they only have a dozen fans, they, you know, this and that. But here's the thing. When you're playing college hockey, conference championships mean something. But if you have to choose between, do I spend my money going to St. Paul for the Frozen Faceoff, or do I spend my money going to a regional tournament, which would be Sioux Falls or St. Louis, you're going to save your money and go to the one that ultimately matters the most. And that's not to take away from winning a conference championship. It's just some people don't have the time or the money to spend to go. And what if Denver, like many suspect, will win the regional? Then you got to come back to Minnesota. So you're talking three trips if you're, you know. And that's why I think this will be the statement game for bringing it back to campuses, because now you can play, if you're good enough, you can host your own conference championship in your own building and make it much more affordable for the fan base, and really much better for everybody in college hockey. And if you're North Dakota, you're loving that too, because you guys are going to be playing at home. But that just puts more emphasis on getting there, right?
Well, I guess we're going to have to try and figure out a way to get out there. I'm glad I missed it this year, because I don't want to be in the snow. So, but,
well, you'll probably have snow next year too. But anyway, I'm just telling you that when you watch on TV, and you told me this, that what you saw on TV last night was not good as far as filled lower bowl even.
Well, again,
it's just too big.
It's all spread out, right? I mean, there were probably 8,000 to 10,000 fans there last night. Don't tell me that's better than a 3,000 seat rink that's full. Just don't tell me that, because it's not.
And the players will tell you that too, because sporadic people around, doesn't seem like there's many there.
No.
Anyway.
So.
Okay. Take it away, my friend. We've already run way longer than we intended.
We always do. From the NCHC.TV studios, this special edition of College Hockey West Live has been brought to you by Caesars Entertainment Resorts Casinos Worldwide. It's where the action is, in the resort or in town. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, the best in barbecue Las Vegas style at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson. By the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe to NCHC.TV and catch all of the action from the toughest conference in college hockey. Tag Creative Group. Search T. Grand Rudd on Redbubble.com and let us help you design that one-of-a-kind gift for you or someone special. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. The Caesars Sportsbook app. Download the app where available, but please play responsibly. FedEx, simplify your business shipping with FedEx, the official package delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West, and by Liberty University. Over 700 programs of study to help you impact your community on and off the ice. Strengthen your faith at our state-of-the-art campus. See us at liberty.edu. College Hockey West Live is live every week on the Podbean app, available for download along with all of our weekly podcasts at your favorite podcast platform. Search ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcast, all one word. Subscribe, rate, and review the shows, or just tell a friend to help others find the podcast. College Hockey West Live and all of our weekly podcasts are part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. I'll remind everybody to follow along on our X account, Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. and along with everything that we do tonight, Paul will be in the command center. I will be at the XL Energy Center. And do not miss tomorrow's show at 9:30 Eastern, as we break down everything that is the NCAA tournament and to get you prepared for what's going to happen beyond.
Get those brackets well tomorrow, baby. The real brackets, baby.
Yep. They are fixed and ready tomorrow night when we come on the show. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.